Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. First, I'd like to acknowledge a colleague, Norma Kanarek, the faculty at Hopkins, who also contributed to this work this morning. Well, you already have seen the title. The motivation for the study is that I believe that there's an underappreciation of poverty, and I mean by poverty, really abject poverty, socioeconomic deprivation, underappreciation of poverty in terms of differential exposure, differential response, and our policy framework in terms of protecting vulnerable populations from cumulative burden of exposure. What I'm going to do is essentially present to you a basic model of how we think that social epidemiology can contribute to cumulative risk assessment. We're going to look at HAPs, hazardous air pollutants, some of the data from the 2002 NATA, the National Air Toxic Assessment, and look at census characteristics of census tracts in New Jersey. And then I'm going to we're going to look at the HAPs as well as the characteristics, neighborhood characteristics, and look at respiratory health outcomes, and look to see if there's an interaction in terms of HAPs and socioeconomic deprivation. Now, as we've already started to discuss this morning, there's quite a bit of challenge associated with non-chemical stressors. Chemical exposures happen in the context of multiple social disadvantages, and there's many who believe that something like socioeconomic deprivation or throughout the life course may have the effect of modifying toxic effects of chemical stressors. The challenge is that there's multiple levels here that we have to look at. There's effect modification and confounding within and across levels. And that's individual and contextual, spatial and collective in terms of different types of communities. Social epidemiologists like to talk about something that's a bit confusing to folks, but where there's emergent health effects, where there's emergent effects effects that emerge out of the configuration of how we're organized, that certain types of communities, my own is in Camden, New Jersey, one of the poorest places in the country, you see very, very different dynamics than you would some 6 or 7 miles away in Cherry Hill. And the analytical models to look at these kinds of effects they're underdeveloped. And so why turn to social epi? Well, because social epi's been working on developing multi-level models to look at individual and place-level effects. We also have substantive theories regarding social determinants of health framework. Frankly, this model of looking at differential response within different communities relative to different levels of effects would lead us to a different kind of a risk concept where we're looking at health outcomes. I'm fond of this graphic from my colleague here this morning. I like this because for two reasons. First of all, it punctuates the importance of place-level stressors and buffers with individual levels. The other thing is it demonstrates the complexity of the damn thing. It's just it's really quite challenging to try to unravel the different levels of effects here in terms of the magnitude of how they contribute. As to what kind of levers that we would need to use in policy. And so a convenient way of breaking the problem down is the threefold problem of differential exposure versus differential susceptibility. And differential vulnerability, I believe that we ought to think of this more formally, that we ought to have a more formal definition of vulnerable populations, of explicitly recognizing susceptibility and differential exposure. This graphic is a way of decomposing rates, if you will. If you start with place-level rates, ecological data, and you think basically that what we have going on here is the interaction of place-level stressors and individual-level risk factors. So it's just a convenient way of trying to order one's thinking about of what kind of causal pathway exists in the interaction of place and individual levels. So I'm going to be looking for social gradients, first in HAP exposure in New Jersey relative to socioeconomic deprivation. I'm going to look for social gradient in respiratory disease, and then look to see if we can tease out some joint effects between HAP exposure and socioeconomic deprivation. Now, the research model here is somewhat challenging in the sense that I have health endpoint data at the zip code level because I was not able to geocode health outcomes at this point. I've got a protocol pending to do just that. But just in the meanwhile, let's look and see what we can find. If we take New Jersey and the 550-some zip codes and we aggregate up from the track level the different hazardous air pollutant exposures that the EPA has modeled. So we've got the chemical exposures. We've got socioeconomic deprivation. I'm looking in terms of the Townsend Index, which I'll get into in a moment. Again, just to think of what we're doing here, we're looking at the effect of HAP exposure on hospitalization. We're looking at socioeconomic deprivation on the health endpoints. And then there's an indirect effect of where differential exposure could also tease out some additional health effect. And then finally, susceptibility, where there's the potential for an interaction between socioeconomic deprivation and HAP exposure. Just to remind you some of the HAPs that target the lung. I have some more information about HAPs in a second. If you're not familiar with the Townsend Index, this was an index devised in England, Great Britain, I should say, that amounts to the sum of four standard deviates, Z-scores, if you will. Rental housing, unemployment, crowding, and car ownership. I'm going to move on to the findings here. First, we find a social gradient in terms of HAP exposure. The first through the sixth decile are pretty much, here I'm using the hazard, the respiratory hazard index. I've got that for the neurological effects and cancer effects. But you could see that it peaks after, it starts to rise, after the 60th percentile. And if you want to see the shape of that distribution, I've got both the maximum respiratory hazard as well as the average that tracks. Now, in terms of social gradient respiratory disease, which we all would expect, I'm sure that we've got multipliers here with respect to pediatric asthma. There's a tenfold increase from the first decile to the 10th. And then we have three and fourfold increases with asthma, adult, and COPD. We have double the effect, and basically the respiratory effect as you move from lower levels of socioeconomic deprivation to the higher, we see anywhere from a 2 to 3 to 4-fold increase in respiratory disease. When we regress these effects, I've got three models here. If we just simply let HAP exposure try to explain asthma rates, for example, we find a statistically meaningful relationship here. Again, I didn't expect this because of the lack of power. If we're taking exposures at the track level and you're aggregating those up at the zip code level, it was somewhat surprising to be able to pull this out. But when you do the second model and you let socioeconomic deprivation and HAP exposure come together to explain asthma rates, we see there's confounding here to the point where the Townsend Index overwhelms the effect of the HAP exposure, and the HAP exposure drops out. However, in the third model, we have an interaction term, and here we have a statistically significant relationship whereby, based on the decile level of the Townsend Index, multiplied by the level of exposure, we've got a statistically significant finding here. Pulled this out to demonstrate this interaction, this effect modification. If you look at the 10th level, if rather the very low level of HAP exposure, the first decile, we see two gradients here, which is two steps. So you basically go from half the population are at this one from the lowest level of Townsend Index to the mid level of a Townsend Index. you're at the same level. But after the 60th percentile, you start to step up and have greater respiratory disease, 20% higher than the first tier, all the way up in the 10th decile to 37%. On the other hand, if you go to this 90th percentile of HAP exposure, you see four steps, and it gets progressively worse, so that you've got essentially, in the worst case, some 250% higher rates of asthma in the highest level of socioeconomic deprivation than the lowest level. And this is just a graph to show you the model. So what have we found? We found that measures of chemical exposure have a positive social gradient with SED. We find that respiratory disease varies positively with SED, and we find that SED can explain hospitalization independently of HAP exposure, and then we also find the interaction. I would argue that the implications are that there's promise in applying social epi models in risk assessment, and that what we have here is perhaps the beginning of a different way of thinking about the risk concept of looking at disease endpoints in terms of differential response relative to exposure and non-chemical stressors. I think that something like this could be helpful in screening for the cumulative burden for vulnerable populations. And here's our disclosure that we're not getting rich off of this. And we'll wait for your questions. Thank you.